adequate to be a preacher, to preach over there this week. I've done it all these years, and I'm still feel like I ain't good enough for what them kids need to hear. So pray for me. I like that one fellow that had this real fancy church where you had to be able to sing real good to sing the choir. And the guy's name was Calvin. And the preacher came up and said, "Calvin, you can't sing in the choir no more." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you can't sing." He said, "I've had 8 complaints of people saying that you can't sing." He said, "Well, preacher, why?" He said, "You can't sing in the choir no more. I've had 8 complaints." And Calvin said, "Well, I've heard a lot more complaints than that. You can't preach. You still get up there every week." Yeah. So that's the way I feel tonight. Amen. Ain't no telling how many complaints I've had. But I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. I'd like to be a blessing to you this evening. James chapter number 5. And look with me, if you will, at these very, very familiar scriptures. And I want to preach on how to get answers to your prayers. Elias, verse 17. Was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now think about that. Elijah, he had doubts, he had worries. Somehow or another, sometimes we think these Old Testament prophets were like they were on another level, and they just, oh my goodness, they just could reach out and touch God. Said he was had like passions as we do. He had his doubts, he had his fears, he had his worries, he had his insecurities, he had all these things that me and you do of compassion. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Think about that. The verse before it, you've heard me preach many times. 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to be really brief here this evening. And preach on, how to get answers to your prayer. If you're like me tonight, you would love to know that we can get answers to our prayer. After all, if we're going to pray, it'd be a great blessing if we expected something in answer. I hope that you don't just pray just out of duty or just because God said to or supposed to. I hope that you pray expecting God to answer your prayer. And you need to get an answer once in a while. Every now and then we ought to check one off and say, "I prayed for that, and God answered a prayer." It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter if you're little, big, rich, poor, male or female, where you can get something from God. You can get prayer. Matter of fact, we are, us adults are supposed to have childlike faith to get something from the Lord. So if you need something from the Lord tonight, I'm going to tell you how to get your prayer. Hey, anybody need anything? Do you need something from God? Okay, I'm going to tell you how to get it if you'll listen. Listen carefully. Now, if you don't listen and you just think it's another service, you ain't going to get no help. But if you'll listen to me tonight, I'm going to tell you how you can get help with your problem and your burden and whatever it is the devil is using on you. If you'll listen. What is the devil using on you? And I'll tell you how to get the victory if you'll listen to me for a minute. Very, very simple tonight. I give you a little 5-point outline. Number one, our desire must be His desire. That's very important. The Bible teaches that the way to get what you want from God, we have to get our will lined up with His will. The Bible said if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, that's easier said than done. Because many times we want things and ask for things that maybe probably ain't even the will of God. But I have good grounds to claim promises when I'm praying lined up with what He wrote. For example, if I'm praying God will send revival, I'm pretty well positive that I'm praying in the will of God. I don't ever feel guilty about praying for revival or praying for praying for people's salvation or praying the Lord will bless the church or He'll help our married couples or He'll bless the young people. Now, you're right on when you pray like that. You are right on target. You halfway got your foot in the door already when you're saying, "Lord, bless the kids at camp. Lord." Well, you know it's His will to help us. And so our desires must be His desires. I can't go to the Lord and have some kind of selfish desire and say, "Now, Lord, I've got a nice car, but I think I need a new one, a brand new one. Now you hear people on television talk like that. They say, bless God, claim you. If Lord wants you to have a new car, I'm happy for you. Praise God. Maybe He does. But I don't know if I'm in the will of God praying the Lord, give me this and Lord, give me that, or give me something better than what I've got, or I want a nicer house, or I want a, nothing. Pray, nothing wrong with praying for things, but if you really want your prayers answered, our desires must be His desires. Read in the Bible what He wants, and you pray along those lines, and you'll get somewhere. Amen? That's why we pray, Thy will be done, not just ours. When our will and His will's alike, then you can get somewhere. So we must pray our desires be His desires. Number two, if you want God, y'all please listen to me, young people. Listen, you want God to help you? Listen to me. Number two, our doubts must be removed. Our doubts must be removed. Listen, you can't get nowhere doubting. You can't get nowhere unbelieving. You've got to understand where it comes from. You've got to understand. You've got to believe that He said. He said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, if I want God to answer my prayer, I'm going to have to put my nose in that book, and I'm going to have to read it, and 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 listen to preaching. I listened to a message yesterday. I was telling Brother Wayne about it, and I was telling Kelly about it. They need to listen to it. All of y'all do. It was a message on faith. And it was really good by young preacher Cody Zorn. And old Cody's preaching on faith, and it was a good message. And I'm telling you, about halfway through that message, I always believe, and I know the Lord's there, and I know the Bible's true, but about halfway through that message, faith shot through my soul. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know that faith you got where you can claim something, where you can believe something. And I thought, now, if I'd have been watching a ball game, it's not a sin to watch a ball game, but I wouldn't have got that faith that I got listening to that message. So what I'm saying tonight is, listen, our doubts, you've got to get rid of our doubts if we're going to lay. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and doubt not. It'll come to you. I wrote down some stuff on faith. I wasn't even planning on using that, and I don't even know if it's in this notebook. But I wrote something down about faith, and if I can get it here, I'll give it to you. He said something about faith and how we go by faith and we walk by faith. And somebody said like this, faith, here's what faith is, ladies and gentlemen. Faith is believing something that you can't see or understand. Faith is believing it whether I can see it or feel it or not. I believe it anyway. Faith can't be translated, imitated, or duplicated, but it can be demonstrated. Faith cannot be seen, but it can be felt. Faith cannot you cannot grasp it, but it can grasp you. You cannot produce it, but it will make you productive. It is not a work, but it will make you work. You can't emotionally work it up, but it will work up an emotion in you when you get it just right. You can't get saved without it. You can't please God without it. You can't be a Christian without it. You can't pray without it. You can't grow without it. Just faith, like a mustard seed. It's as small as a mustard seed, yet it's big enough to move a mountain. It's so simple that it's called childlike, yet so complex the greatest minds on earth can't figure it out. It's little enough to live in your heart, but large enough to save everybody in the world. It's personal, but should be shared with somebody and everybody. It's powerful enough to believe and to help everybody. It's peaceful enough to calm anybody, precious enough to change anybody. It came from heaven and reaches to earth. It was bought at Calvary, embodied in the ascension, and will be on sight at the rapture when we'll no more walk by faith but by sight. Brother, if we want God to do something, we've got to believe Him. When we get down, we say, Lord, would you help me with this problem? The devil's bothering me. Lord, I'm going to believe. And brother, you believe it, and it's happening. It can happen in your life. Amen. Faith can do more than 10 doctors for your nerves. And I'm not saying if you got a physical problem, you don't need medicine. But I still believe God can do more than any doctor in the world can. God can do more than any program in the world can. God can do more than Valium can do. God can do more than Ritalin can do. And I don't even know what that's supposed to do. But I want to tell you one thing, brother. If we'll put our faith, just believe Him. Our doubts must be removed. Amen. Number three, let me say quickly. You want God to answer your prayers? Our debtors must be forgiven. Our debtors must be forgiven. We're not going to get our prayers answered when we're holding hard feelings towards somebody else. Towards our husband, towards our wife, towards our fellow church member, towards our boss, towards somebody at work. You're not going to get... How many of you... You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you ever been mad at somebody at work or something like that, and when you get down to pray, you say, "Dear Lord, I pray," and all you can see is their face. You know that feeling? That's conviction. And you think, "I need to make it right with so-and-so." Amen. If me and Jimmy have a problem, and I smart off to him and say something I shouldn't say, and I act in the flesh and I act wrong, and I get down over here and pray, something in me is going to say, go back and make it right with him before I can pray with a clear conscience. And that's true. We must forgive our debtors. Ladies and gentlemen, don't say, "Hey, listen to me, Christians." Don't say, "I will forgive, but I won't forget." That's not real forgiveness. Now, it's impossible for us not to forget some things. It really is. But you can't have this attitude, "I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget what you've done to me." That ain't forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, "I forgive you, and by the grace of God, I'll try my best not to hold it against you any longer." Now, we're flesh and we're human, and sometimes things come back up on us. But you're not supposed to say, "Well, I forgive you, but blah, 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 blah." No, that's not real forgiveness. And listen, you cannot say, "I will forgive you, but things will never be the same between us again." Ain't you glad God don't do that to us? Ain't you glad you don't come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I failed you." And He'll say, "All right, I forgive you, but things will never be the same between us." I'm glad God don't say that to us. I'm glad He wipes it clean. I'm glad He puts it under the blood and puts up a no fishing sign. I'm glad the devil can't draw up our past and throw it in our face. Ladies and gentlemen, are you hearing me? Lady told me one time, a man told me one time, used to come to this church, no longer here. I could tell you something to you married couples right now. They're no longer together. And they thought what I had was a good marriage. And he said, "Brother Danny," he said, "me and her fuss a lot." And he said, the man he had done something 10 years ago. He'd been unfaithful, and at a time in his life, he said they made things work. They got back together. They worked things out. I don't even know if they was ever really separated, but they got over the hump. And he said, "She said she forgive me, but," he said, "everything I do," he said, "it's been 10 years, and I can leave the toothpaste laying down where she don't like it, and she brings that thing up. It doesn't matter what, it always jumps back to that." Now, that is very tempting, and that is human nature. It's human nature when somebody's done you wrong, the least little thing they do, throw all that right back at them. But you know that ain't right, and I know it ain't right, and it ought to be our goal not to do that. Tell yourself, "I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to mention it." God, I heard a preacher say one time, or I read it, a preacher, I didn't hear it. I read a preacher, and he said, one of the great preachers in our past, it was one of them great preachers like F.B. Meyer, and back when G. Campbell Morgan and them were preaching, and one of them was really jealous of the other one and had bad feelings. He used to go up out of that moody church, and he said he would preach, and big crowds would come in. And the other fella come in, and bigger crowds come in. And you'd be surprised how preachers, some of the most jealous people you've ever been around in your life. I've been to a lot of preachers' meetings, and jealousy is one of the major sins of preachers. Pride and jealousy. And I don't know what in the world they got to be proud of, but some of them walk in like, "Here I am. I am Moses," you know. All right, walk in with that Bible stuck under their arm and their chest stuck out that far like, "I'm the great so-and-so." We ain't got nothing to be proud of. To tell you the truth, ain't none of us got to be nothing to be proud of. The great Dr. So-and-so, the great one of us, every one of us ought to be in hell tonight fried like a piece of bacon. You hear me? Ain't none of us got no right to be proud. Ain't none of us got no right to stand stick our chest out like we're something special. But I'm telling you, he was jealous of that other preacher. And you know what he said he done? He said, the only way, listen to me, he said, the only way I could ever get God's blessings on my life, I had to pray every day that God would change my feelings toward that other preacher. And if somebody has gotten your crawl, so to speak, and somebody has caused you to be jealous of them, or maybe God's blessing somebody else and you're mad, or maybe somebody's got some nicer house or a car or whatever, kids, husband, wife, whatever, and you got that evil jealousy in you, get down and say, God, get it out, God, get it out, God, get it out. I am not going to live my life with my prayers being hindered. Being jealous over somebody ain't going to change that no way. You're jealous of somebody, ain't hurting them, it's hurting you. A person who won't forgive needs to be forgiven. Amen? Don't say, well, I'll forgive them, but I ain't never having nothing else to do with them. Man said one time, he said, preacher told me this. He said, yeah, if you fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me twice, shame on me. Now that's a good little quote from the world that ain't got no biblical base whatsoever. That's a worldly philosophy quoted by a man of God. That is not what the Bible says. Would you like me to tell you what the Bible said? That's why you come here to church, ain't it? You get it straight here. You get it right here. Jesus said, if a man turns against you 70 times 7, and in one day says, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Say amen right there. You say, but that ain't what he said. That's out of our realm, ain't it? 49 times in one day. You say, could you do that, Brother Danny? Listen, I just preach it. I hope I could. I hope and pray I could. I don't know if anybody's ever done me wrong 49 times in one day. But you know, 70 times 7, that's 490. I don't know where I got that 49. I preached that all my life. 490 times. Lord, I give up at 49. Maybe that's why the Lord wanted me to say it like that. I can't blame the Lord for getting that wrong. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter what somebody does. If they repent, thou shalt forgive them. You say, if I do that, they'll never... He didn't make you the judge and the jury. That's his job. Well, they say, well, I'm afraid to forgive them. They might hurt me again. Well, how do you think God feels? He forgives us knowing we're going to hurt him again. If you want your prayers answered, our debts must be forgiven. You know, God knowed everything you was going to do wrong before you even got saved, and saved you anyway. Ain't that something? Get your hard feelings out. If you have hard feelings or jealousy, you ain't going to get nowhere. Jealousy is a wicked, wicked sin. I know a lot of these church people at camp meetings, they talk about these wicked young people, and they wear them short skirts, or they are, and they're just jealous of them a lot of times. And young people ought to dress decent, and I'll preach that to them this week. But you know what? That jealousy and that self-righteousness is as big or bigger sin than that girl's knee. Amen! In the Bible, you know who Jesus rebuked the hardest? The self-righteous Pharisees that thought they was better than other people because of their phylacteries and their garments and the things that they washed their hands, and they had all these convictions. And Jesus said, y'all people about make me sick almost. He said, your heart is as black as the back of my Bible right there. Number four. You want your prayers answered? What have I said so far? Your desire must be His desire. Our doubts must be removed. Our debts must be forgiven. Number four, our doors must be shut. Our doors must be shut. What do I mean? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Bible said Jesus was telling them how to pray. He said, when you pray, He said, enter into thy closet. Now we're going into prayer closet. Notice Jesus took time to say this word. And when thou hast shut thy door. Isn't it odd? Don't you think it's strange? The Holy Spirit put that in the Bible. God the Spirit don't waste words. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. So the Spirit of God took out time to say, Jesus said, when you enter in your closet, we just thought you, some closets don't even have a door. You just get down in there and kneel down, knock all them shoes out of your way, and get you a place big enough to pray. But he said, when thou hast shut the door. Now, you know what he's saying? You know what he's saying? He's saying, you get you a place where you can get along, just you and God, shut the door. Shut the world out. Shut the devil out. Shut the flesh out. Shut all the sin out. You don't pray while you're watching a movie. You don't pray while you're dealing a deck of cards. You don't pray while you're... Listen, people. We've got to shut the door. Shut the door on the world. The ways of the world. The wardrobe of the world. We Christians shouldn't dress... Listen, when they see our girls or they see our boys, they ought to be some kind of difference. I mean, listen, we ought to dress decent. Amen? Shut the door. Listen, mamas, if you let your little girls run around like little hussies, it ain't going to be long till they're going to be big hussies. They are going to look like one. I'm telling you, you better set some rules, some kind of belief, some kind of system on these kids and say, look, we're not going to wear that, or we are going to wear this. We're not going to wear it. We're going to try to keep us decent according to the Word of God. Listen, shut the door on the world. Shut the door on the world's ways. Shut the door on the world's words. Shut it, brother. Shut it. The Chinese used to say, one person cannot stand on two boats. You ever been down at the lake? You had one foot on the dock and the other on the boat, and the boat starts going out like this, you're going one way or the other, or down. If you've got one foot on one boat, one on the other, one boat, you're going to go like that, and you're going down. Now, you can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Amen? Shut the door! Shut the door! Hey, shut the door on drugs, y'all. Don't say, I'll smoke one joint and stop, or I'll take this one, or I'll take one beer, and I just drink one beer. If you drink one beer, you'll drink another beer. I had a man tell me not long ago, right out of this church, he said, I've done real good for years and years and years, but he said, I let somebody talk me into drinking that first beer. Next thing I know, I was back getting drunk again. Shut the door. Shut the door! You say, well, we're just going to have a few beers and we won't have somebody. Shut the door! We ain't going there. We ain't hanging around you. Listen, people. Listen, I ain't much of a Christian. I don't claim to be perfect. I'm 9,000 miles from it. But I got enough sense not to go somewhere with people drinking alcohol. Amen? And I'm not even tempted to drink alcohol. I better shut up. The devil might eat me. I never have been. But I ain't going to hang around it. It won't be long. The devil be tempting me. You ain't strong enough. I ain't strong enough. Shut the door. Shut the door on alcohol. Shut the door on drugs. Amen. Shut the door on sodomy. All this stuff of sodomy. You know, the same-sex marriage, the Bible terminology is sodomy. Shut the door. Shut the door. I mean, I hope I don't have to say that to y'all. I'm here. I'm going to say it at camp this week, though. I'm going to say it by God's grace. Don't watch videos. Don't watch shows that glamorize it. Don't. If you're not careful, you'll be watching these little sitcoms, and there's two guys in there, and they're in love, and everything just went first thing. You're like, you know what? No. We don't know what. It doesn't matter how funny it seems. It don't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how pretty they dress. It doesn't matter. Shut the door, brother. Shut the door if you want God to answer your prayers. You're not being judgmental. That's not hate. We're just supposed to shut the door on cheating. Shut the door on lying. Got your marriage? Your marriage ought to be shut off. Shut the door. Don't leave the door open. You say, well, this woman at work is awful nice, and me and her have been talking, and I tell her about my problems, and she tells me about her problems, and all. You better shut that door. You better shut that door. This ain't a message on shutting door, but it's turning into it, I'm afraid. I mean, you want God to answer your prayers, keep the door shut. Some of y'all, you better shut that door. You say, well, don't you know your husband's hateful and all that? Listen, if you was living with a little nice boy at work, he'd be hateful too. Amen. If you had that beautiful little sweet thing at work, about time she come through the house with her old baggy jammies on and no makeup and her lips stuck up like that and her breath stinking and says, God! You'd say, oh my goodness. You better shut that door. You better shut the door. Listen, everybody in here knows what happens at your house if you leave doors open. Rats get in. Snakes get in. I told you, I went to the post office one day. I think it's been 2 summers ago now, summer before last. I come back, come up my driveway, pulled in my little parking place there. I have a little carport. It's not enclosed. It's just open. I got lattice around it. And I pulled in there, got out, minding my own business, walking in, I looked down like that, and there was a copperhead that long, and he had his head up on a step, like going into my back door. Thank God that door was closed. If that door had been open, that copperhead would have been in my house. What if that copperhead was pregnant and went in my house and had babies? Just one of, you know, little bitty copperheads are scarier than some big ones sometimes. You ever seen them little bitty ones? I've always heard them little ones poison you worse than the big ones. And one of them, like that one fellow said, well, you're supposed to not kill certain kinds of snakes. He said, I kill them, then look and see what kind they are. but anyway, that thing had its head up there like that. I thought a lot about that, and I thought, you know what? You leave that door cracked in your life, and you watch what gets in your life. Leave it cracked. Jesus said, shut thy door. When thou hast shut thy door. You say, what is open the door? Rock music, rap music, leaving the door open that much. Matter of fact, it's wide open. Alcohol, any kind of drug, any kind of immorality is opening the door for the devil to come in your life. He said, when thou shalt shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Maybe I ought to have saved all this for camp. Maybe I'll do it again. Shut your door. Number five, now I'm through. Our determination must be set. Now what does that mean? That means we ain't going to give up till we get our answer from God. Henry Dempsey was a pilot. He's flying this little plane, and about four of them was in there, and they heard a noise in the back. And so the co-pilot rushes back there to see what the noise is, and a door was open in the back of the plane. And he got to, was trying to shut that thing, and the draft sucked him out. And they started screaming, oh my God, he's gone. Oh God, oh, he's gone. We'll never see him again. They got and landed that thing. That guy had grabbed a hold of part of the wing brace and held on, going 200 miles an hour for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, 200 miles an hour. And that guy held on and landed that thing. And he was safe and sound. And they said, Lord have mercy. How did you hold on going 200 miles an hour, 10 minutes like that with your body blowing with that wind, that force of that wind? That'd be rough. You ever stuck your hands out the window going 70 to 80 miles an hour? I mean, jerk you back like that. 200 mile an hour holding on. And he said, well, have you ever considered the alternative? What he meant said, I'd have no choice. If I let go, brother, I was gone. He said, and listen, sometimes God puts us in a place we don't have a choice. We got to hold on. Hold on, y'all. Don't give up, child of God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let the devil have your kids. Don't let the devil have your life. Don't do it. Hold on. Let's see what God might do. Consider the alternative. Man, just give your life to the Lord. I remember reading about James Calvert. He was a missionary to the island of Fiji, and they were wicked heathen on this island. And he was taking a crew by boat over there to Fiji to work with those heathen. And you know what they told him? The men that run that ship said, "Are you crazy? Don't you know them people kill you and these guys with you?" You know what he said? He looked back at him and he said, "We died before we came here. We died before we got here." That's what a Christian is. That's what a Christian is. We're dead to this world. We're dead. We give our life to the Lord a long time ago. You can't threaten us with heaven. And I said, "Well, they'll kill you." Wow. Be the best day we ever had. Amen. You believe that? You believe that Bible? God's the best thing that happened to us. I was witnessing an old drunk one time. And I said, "Man, you want to go to heaven, don't you?" I guess I'm on the internet, but I'm not going to say what he said, but I'm going to tell you what he said without saying it. I don't think it's right. It's just what he said. He said, "Yeah, man. Everybody wants to die. I love to talk to drunks. Sometimes they can give you the best wisdom you ever heard in your life." He said, "Yeah, man." He said, "Well, I want to go to heaven." He said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I'd like to know how the H you think are going to get there." If he didn't say H. I said, "Man, you got a point there, dude. That's the way we're going to get there, by dying. But the rapture won. I hope the rapture come. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. I know how they think they're going to get there. But you know what?" He said, "We died before we got here. We died before we got here. Can't hurt a dead man." That's how you get your prayers answered. Die out. He'll bless you. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Everybody stand. Everybody bow your head. Heads bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. God spoke to your heart tonight. Maybe somebody here needs to shut that door. Right there where you stand or getting this altar. Teenager, maybe you need to shut that door on them drugs, alcohol, that sexual sin, or that's lying or cheating, mom and dad, stealing, doing something wrong. Maybe you're here tonight and you just want to say, "Lord, increase my faith. I want my prayers answered. I mean, life's short. Let's don't go through it never getting an answer to prayer. Let's get our prayers answered. Come on. We're not even going to sing. We're just going to pray just for a minute tonight. Join me here at the altar. Who join me here at the altar? And let's get down here and let's pray. Come on. Amen. That's right. I'm going to pray. You want to come pray? Let's get down here and pray. Come on, young people. That's right. Teenagers, mamas and daddies. Let's say, "Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help me at camp this week. I got a sin in my life, and I want rid of it. I want rid of it. I don't want no sin in my life at camp. I don't want to be miserable. All the signs we've seen happen the last few weeks, the Lord's coming back, y'all. Really, really soon. You don't want to be left behind. Oh, God, help us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, help us tonight. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Pray that you would bless tonight as we get ready to go to camp tomorrow. Bless everybody here getting up back, going back to work. Lord, some have been off on vacation. Pray you bless them. Have your way in our hearts. Do what needs to be done, never lie. Oh God, help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless our church. Cause it to grow and prosper for the glory of God. Bring people in, God, you want in. God, save souls, change lives, touch hearts, God, we pray. God, get us ready to head out in the morning. Bless this week of camp. May it be the greatest week of camp any of us have ever been in. God, we're excited. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. I pray the Holy Ghost of God get down deep. Lord, change some minds here tonight. Change some minds. I pray, God, change some hearts. God, help us, Lord. Have the week of camp you'd be pleased with. Whatever and however you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. Okay, now, everybody, please, I'm asking y'all again, everybody who is not going to camp, be here Wednesday night. Our church needs you here Wednesday night. I mean, 70 of us gone. So be here Wednesday night. Brother Derek will be here, and it's going to be good. You always have a good service when we're gone like that, and be here to pray for us and support us while we're at camp. I trust you'll do that. And don't forget to pray for us every night this week. We're having morning services at 9:30 and evening services at 6:30 for y'all that are staying. Pray every night. Pray God will get in that thing, and the Lord.